Our first presentation will be Case Law Update Part 1. It's a staple of this conference to let us all know what's been going on the last year. And our two speakers today, probably everybody in this room knows who both of them are Ms. Linda Secord and Ms. Karen Watkins. Ms. Secord was an assistant attorney general for 39 years, is in a solo practice now, and is very knowledgeable, and we're happy to have her here. Ms. Watkins was a briefing attorney at the Third Court of Appeals, was a partner at a law firm in McGinnis, Lockridge, and Kilgore for over 20 years, and now has been at the Attorney General's office for over 10 years. And so she has experience on both sides that I think we can benefit from. So with that, let's welcome our first presenters for this conference. Yes, ma'am.
While they're moving things, I just want to say we're taking a little bit different approach with this case law update. One of the things that has come to us in comments over the years is that people are less interested in the specific facts of each case and more interested in why the case is important. So we're focusing this morning on why we're telling you about these cases and why they might be useful to you in your practices.
Also, I don't understand the facts in the PUC cases, so we're so we're pretending that we're looking for the principles of law.
And I'll tell you that I am technologically challenged, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to advance these slides.
The clicker should, we should have practiced anyway. Let's see. Okay, help. The person approaching is Madison on the staff of Dean Smith, who has been so patient.
Madison, come back, please.
We're not making it go right.
I am not able on the touch screen or...
Ah, there we go. Okay, we're good. Well, we were good. Okay, this is the usual disclaimer. You've all heard it many times, but neither of us is speaking for the current, present, past attorney generals of Texas. It's not their opinions. We're not representing that office. I really don't represent that office anymore, truly. So please don't construe this as connecting the dots to any theory of the Attorney General's office. Karen's going to start us off.
Okay. The first thing, we're not going to have many cases. This is the only one about the administrative record. In this case, the Department of Public Safety versus Kennedy, and I'm going to give you the site since it's not on the slide. It's 2023 Westlaw 276. 6094. And the case is pretty much unremarkable. This case, like many we'll talk about, are memoranda opinions. Those are easy to miss unless you're reading everything that comes out of the courts every day. And so we wanted to be sure that we covered some of these. This one's important because it's a reminder that no matter how hard the legislature and the courts have tried to make sure that you don't mess up by not getting your administrative record into evidence in your suit for judicial review, you can still do that. You can still fail to get your administrative record admitted. And if you do, you're done. There's no way you can prevail on a substantial evidence challenge if you don't have your administrative record in evidence. Then we're going to talk about harm. And there are a few cases on this subject. If you do not show prejudice to your substantial rights, you cannot prevail on appeal. You can preserve a complaint, but if you don't explain to the court how your rights have been injured, you're not going to prevail in your case. So the first case we're going to talk about here is New World Car Nissan versus Hyundai Motor America. That's at 658 Southwest 3rd, 754. This case is currently pending at the Supreme Court. I don't really know how it's going to come out, but I don't think it's going to come out on the issue we're going to talk about.